pretty full house today, even though we have quite a few of ours out of town. I just imagine we'd be bringing in some more chairs from somewhere if we had everyone here today. It's good to see our visitors here. We're thankful that you've got spiritual thoughts on your minds, and that's why we're here today, to worship God. We worship at 9 o'clock, and we have Bible class, and then 10 o'clock now for our a.m. worship service, and then this afternoon we'll come back again at 4 o'clock this afternoon to worship, and then on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock we have a Bible study here. So if you have an opportunity, please come and visit with us. We do have some announcements to make this morning before we enter to the worship service. The only person I have on the sick list or feeling under the weather right now is Christina. She's at home. So if I missed anybody else, please let me know and we can make that announcement this evening. Members out of town are going to be out of town. Stacy and her family are here now, but they're going out of town for spring break, I understand. Courtney and her family are in St. Louis. The Latinis are out of town. TJ just left and he's out of town, so we've got a lot of our members coming and going. This is spring break, I think, in most local school systems, so a lot of those other people are going to be traveling, so let's pray for them and keep them in our thoughts. Also, we have meetings in the area, so in 2 weeks, I don't know what that date is, I think it's two Sundays from now, Northwest starts their meeting. Chuck is hosting that meeting there, so I'm sure they would appreciate the support, and Chuck would appreciate the support if we could get there and support them during that week. So please put that on your calendar and make those plans if you can make it. And then today, after services, Chuck is leaving for Salem, Illinois, and he'll be hosting a meeting over there the rest of this week, so he'll be gone. So let's pray for Chuck. And along those lines, I sent an email out to the men with Chuck's schedule for the rest of the year, 2014, with his meetings. And so I need some input back on who wants to sign up for those slots. And also, everybody don't rush at once, but I do need to start filling in some slots for preaching and teaching Bible class on some of those Sundays. Also, the radio today will be, in Chuck's absence today, will be Mark Nevins and Tony Barron will be together on the radio this morning at 2 o'clock on AM 1400. The invitation for this Wednesday is Dan, so he's out of town, but I'm sure he knows that he's down for that. Let's also remember the building progress. I mean, we're posting pictures on there. If you want to go to the website, there's a place on there called Building Renovation or something like that. You can see the pictures of ongoing renovations of what's going on there. Just like a lot of wood and a lot of empty space, but I mean, there's a lot of progress going on there. And we do appreciate everyone who has the time that goes out there to help with this, and members from other congregations. And we just had a lot of support from people, and we really appreciate all the help that we've been getting. So we thank everyone for that. The order of our worship service this morning, Keith Wigginton will lead the opening prayer at the appropriate time to be called on. And then communion will be headed this morning by Brother Andrew and assisted by Dave. Song leader this morning is Brother Warren. He has song number 138 as the opening song. So take your songbook and turn to that. We'll be singing that song in just a moment. And Chuck will be preaching for us this morning, and then this afternoon, in his absence, Andrew is preaching for us tonight. The fourth Sunday just happened to line up with needing someone to fill in for when Chuck's gone tonight, so that was good. So we look forward to listening to Andrew tonight. And then the closing services, we'll ask Brother Mike Johnson if he would lead our closing prayer. Well, those are all the announcements I have for this morning, but if you missed anything, please let me know and I'll get that announced this afternoon. Now enter to the worship service, song number 138.
We'll sing all three verses. Four verses.
Tempted and tried, what made you wonder why it should be thus all the day long? While there are others living about us, never molested, knowing the wrong. Father of all,
Himself to that plan to come to this earth, live a perfect and life give us a perfect example of how to serve you, how to teach others, how to walk upon this earth, Father. We pray that we will always try to live our lives after that example. Thank you, Father, for his love and his willingness to go to the cross. Realize that without his sacrifice, that we would have no hope of being redeemed, being right in your sight, Father. Realize that without that sacrifice, we lost eternity. Pray that you will help us to always reflect that great love in our life to others. Help us to tell others about Jesus and his love for them and your love for them and the plan that you put forth, Father. Pray that you help us to teach others about you and they may come to be your children as well, Father. Thank you for this church that meets here. Pray that you will help us to always stand for right, to stand for truth. Be students of your word, Father. Never stray from your word. Always put your word first in our lives and do everything that we do here in accordance with your word. Help us to be a light in this community, to spread your word, and to also help others find you. Pray, Father, that you be with our number who are away with us this morning, those who are traveling, that you watch over them and keep them safe. Be with those who may be traveling for the upcoming week. Watch over them as well. Please be with our members who are sick and battling with illness. We pray that you will help them to regain their health and to return to this, Father. Pray, Father, that you will help us all to daily examine our lives and to make sure that we are serving you correctly, Father, and that when we do sin and realize that we have sin in our life, that we will repent of it and turn from it. That you'll forgive us that sin, Father. Pray, Father, that you go with us now through the brother exercises of this service. Pray that everything that we do, we glorify your name, your son's name, we pray. Amen.
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 For the Lord's Supper, let's turn to page 752. Sing all five verses.
When my love to Christ grows weak, when for a deeper faith I see,
suffered on the bitter.
This morning, in the adult Bible class, we were dealing with a passage in Romans that was specifically dealing with opinionated and how that we need to respect each other's opinions and respect where God draws lines with his word and how we need to discern what is according to scripture and what is concerning to opinion. And we need to be very careful on those lines, especially when we're worshiping to God. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I'm going to be reading from a familiar passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and starting in verse 24. Paul wrote and it says, "And when he had given thanks," speaking of Jesus, "he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often ye drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Things that we need to remember is that we need to have the right emblems that is represented as Christ's body and his blood. And oftentimes we do make the comparison that it could be opinionated that we may not want what is established, but say we want Coke and pizza instead. I have heard arguments in trying to go along with the scriptures, trying to abide by opinion, saying, well, we understand that it's got to be some type of fruit drink. So let's, instead of having grape juice, let's have orange juice or apple juice. That's more flavorful, that's more tasting. And maybe instead of having unleavened bread, maybe have pancakes. We need to be very careful because there are places in which it's very specified. And I also, not to throw any more curveballs, but I've also heard arguments saying we understand that it's the fruit of the vine, needs to be grape juice as it's designated. How about it would be, instead of it being a purple, that would be the green, a different color. The emphasis is that we need to have the right emblems, but we also think upon the purposes that they are established. The reason why Christ said that it needs to be unleavened bread is because he stated over in Matthew 26, it is representative of his body that he has sacrificed for our sins. And that the fruit of the vine is also represents the shed blood. So we need to remember the things and the actions that he had given upon us. We need to be careful how we discern ourselves and abide by the what is provided, because as this passage has stated, that we eat and drink this, and if we do this in an unworthy manner, we take judgment upon ourselves. And this is a very important event, because this is the establishment of the reason why we have the relationship with God, that we have the hope of eternal life, and it's through Christ's death. May you bow with me at this time. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and so blessed to be in your presence at this time. We are so thankful that you have provided your Son to come to this world, knowing that he must offer himself to be that perfect sacrifice, to give his body freely so that our sin can be forgiven, that the price can be paid, and that we cannot bear to paid the price for ourselves, but he paid it for all mankind. We ask you that as we partake of this unleavened bread, which we so think that you provided for, we ask you that we take it in a worthy manner, that we remember these events that Christ had gone through, and that he died and resurrected for our sins. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Did you also get things?
The dear Heavenly Father, Christians worldwide come together upon this special day, upon this first day of the week, to remember our Lord and Savior who loved us so much. He was willing to come upon this earth and give his life so that we might have life. And as we partake of this fruit of the vine, which so fittingly represents the shed blood for us, may we do so in a manner pleasing unto thee and accordance to thy will, and forgive us of our sin. In Jesus' dear name, amen.
As the conclusion of the Lord's Supper, as we are entering another part of worship, we are commanded on the first day of the week as well to give of our means, as how we've been blessed. I'm going to be turning to the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And it is written, and says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered in him, that there be no gatherings when I come." So as commanded that on the first day of the week, that we're to give of our means, we need to give in a cheerful heart, not grudgingly. It does not specify how much. How much is actually considered as a sacrifice of our means. All of this is opinionated. And there are those that want to bind by saying you have to give a percentage. You have to put a tithe of a certain amount of income. It doesn't matter how much you put in, but it does matter upon the heart that you're concerning about how much you're willing to give to God. Because the collection that that's being collected today would be means to be able to provide for all the resources and everything that is needed to edify the church, to spread the gospel, and to help with the needing saints. The events that was happening during this time was that there was a famine, and so a lot of the collections were used to help the needy saints during those times. So situations are different, but if we abide by opinion saying we're going to hold a different event on a Wednesday, we're gathering together, we're going to have a bingo night, or we're going to have a collection of an auction, and you can go down the line, but those are opinionated, and those are not according to Scripture. So we need to give by our means on the first day of the week, and we need to give so in a way to where it's pleasing, because God is looking upon us, and He knows our thoughts and our hearts. If you are a visitor, we're not going to solicit your funds. This is the work of the congregation for every local congregation. If you're wanting to give, we're not going to hold you back from that, but understand that what we're doing is abiding by God's word, and that the work of the congregation, this congregation, may continue, and that we can edify as many people as possible. May you bow with me at this time. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful and so blessed in so many different areas of our lives on a daily basis. You know what we need, you know what we lack, and you know that you provide everything for ourselves and for our families, and that we may be able to prosper, and that we are able to not have to worry. We ask you at this time that as we are about to give back a portion, that we do so in a well-pleasing manner, that we have the right intentions, the right hearts, and the right mind, that we're giving cheerfully, that we're not grudgingly after, and that we're here to try to encourage and edify everyone that's here in this at this location, but also to spread the word and try to bring as many people to your word as possible. We're so thankful for all these ways and for these spiritual blessings. Help us to do so according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please mark your songbooks to page 346. 346, and that'll be the song of invitation after Brother Chuck brings us a lesson. For the lesson, let's turn to page 288. 288. We'll sing all four verses.
I need thee every hour. Most gracious Lord, O beneath the every heart, most holy one. O make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come.
Take hold of your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Acts, the 12th chapter. Acts chapter 12, follow along. I have a somewhat lengthy reading. Acts chapter 12, and I'm going to begin reading. And in verse 1, if you'd like to follow along. Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Listen carefully to what we have here in this particular event. Now about that time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. Because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals," and so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garments and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. But when they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. She recognized Peter's voice. Because of the gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. They said to her, "You're beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It is his angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, he saw him, and they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. Don't you love reading a story? Happy ending. Peter's arrested. The brethren are praying for him. The angel's there, releases him. He's standing before the brethren. Wonderful story. Wait a minute. What about James? What about James? One of the apostles. In the first part of this passage. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. How devastating would that have been? One of the 12 apostles. I mean, we have so few as it is to take the gospel into all the world. I know Paul was in the mix at this time too, but how devastating would that have been? I mean, Peter gets to escape, but yet James doesn't. What's the big deal? I mean, excuse me. I mean, the big deal about Peter. But it's almost like what happened to James. A lot of people could be wondering about God and thinking, well, did God only care for Peter, but he didn't care for James? What would this do to the brethren at that time? And I believe, folks, if we stop and consider James for our lesson this morning, with a few moments that we have it together, we can glean some very important truths that will even help us today. We can pray. And we can help brethren, and brethren can overcome some things, and we give God the glory. Some other brethren we might find go through some hardships and not get through it, might even lose their life. Maybe somebody gets some kind of disease. I believe if we follow the principles that we can learn from James today, it will help us to be stronger, help us with our own faith. Because there's one thing, well, I didn't say one, we've got four or five different things we're going to talk about today. Is that what James' death teaches us from this story? It teaches us, number one, don't worry, it didn't destroy the church. You know, James was a member of the church. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 and 19. But he also said that nothing was going to destroy it. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You cannot destroy the Lord's body. That's why after James died, you know, we have the brethren praying for Peter. Well, brethren, forget about it. Don't even bother praying for Peter. Look what happened to James. Forget about it. Turn your back on God. God's turned your back on you? No, he hasn't. What's that got to do with anything? In the big scheme of things, what the wonderful thing is about the body of Christ, the devil can do what he wants, but he is not going to destroy that blood-bought church of our Lord. You can be a member of it. You are a member of it, those of you who have obeyed the gospel, because the Lord added you to his church, Acts 2:47, which we value greatly. Imagine belonging to something that will never, ever be destroyed. Never. And so that brings comfort to us. But it isn't just that. You know, because as I focused about this, focused on this, on the lessons contained in here. I'm thinking about Acts chapter 8, which I love to talk about, because it didn't destroy, he didn't destroy the church, that universal body that Jesus purchased, but it didn't destroy the faith, obviously, of the faithful. And I realize that it can destroy some people's faith. I know that. There have been people who have faced such hardships, they just turn their back on the Lord, and they say, well, you know what, he just doesn't care about me, and I don't care about him. And that's just not true within all of this. You know, you think back, and before I read in Acts chapter 8, remember Acts chapter 7? There's Stephen. Stephen's preaching. He says in verse 51, you stiff neck, I'm in chapter 7 of Acts, you uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. And he also said, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed at him with their teeth. And we move on down. We find in verse 58, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. You see, I'm comparing what happened in Acts chapter 12. James is killed. They're praying for Peter. Stephen is killed. The church is being persecuted. So you go right into Acts chapter 8. This is after Stephen has been killed. And I read in verse 4 of Acts chapter 8, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. I don't care what kind of hardship we face here in Newburgh, as we continue to labor and work together, it's not going to destroy our faith because something bad happens to some members. What? I don't want bad things happening to members. And these people in Acts chapter 12, they didn't want bad things happening to Peter, but they pretty much thought, you know, bad things are going to happen to Peter. Because they're saying, well, he's out there. No, it's his angel. What are we saying that for? Well, because, you know, we're praying for him, but, you know, I don't know if it's going to do any good. But the point is, we're still faithful to God. And we need to be faithful to God. Because I don't know what's in store in the future. But chances are, as time continues to go on, you and I will suffer some kind of hardship. But Jesus was preparing his followers for this very thing. Again, is there a lesson that it was James? I mean, if God is going to prevent Peter from being killed, why don't you prevent James from being killed? He's an apostle. Isn't he somebody special? These were just men, folks, called to do an important job. But Jesus was preparing them for this. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus knows what's going to happen. He's trying to prepare his followers. He tells them in verse 27 of Matthew chapter 10, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetop. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather let him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You don't fear man. And so the whole point is, Stephen was killed. They can only kill this body. They took stones and they killed him. James, behead. I mean, they killed James. But they could only kill the body. They knew going into this. Now, there are people, I know, that fear man. They fear man. They want the praise of men. John 12. 47 and 48? Or is it 42 and 43? I think it's 42 and 43 of John chapter 12. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They didn't want to confess their faith in Christ for fear that they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. But what we're noticing here, learning about James from Acts chapter 12, yes, Peter was released. Yes, James was killed. But it did not destroy. It did not destroy the faith of the faithful. And that's what you and I are wanting to be. I almost had a heart attack for a moment. I thought, where's my other notes? And they're stuck together. I couldn't separate them. They're still stuck together. You know what it is. You're literally about to see a preacher and have a heart attack. Or I would fake it. Or I'm late for my meeting. I got to go. Okay. We need to continue on. This particular point I'm not going to spend a lot of time on because people talk about, you know, Chuck, you pride yourself on always saying that we don't want to preach opinions. Well, would we be safe to say, and I'll just make the point and move on, because we know there are exceptions to this, did it destroy James' faith? We'd like to know that there are people like Stephen. And that's why I bring him up, because there we have him, even being stoned to death, praying for the people that are stoning. Don't lay this sin to their charge. So we know people that can be Christians that can suffer and hold on to their faith. And I like to think that James is the same way, because he tells us right here, he harassed the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And it pleased the Jews. So it's implying within those verses there that the Jews knew that James was with them. Those of the faithful. They wouldn't call him faithful, but he knows that they were of them. They were persecuting the church. James was a member of it. James was part of it. And I just want to ask you guys, will you hold on to your faith if something happens to you? Because the previous point was, there are people that lose their faith when something happens to a brother or sister. These brethren were continuing to be faithful even though something happened. Something happened to James. They were still praying to God, still believed in God, and they were praying for Peter. Now we take it a step farther and talk about, what about if something happens to you? Will you hold on to your faith? It can happen. We need to learn from James' death and compare that with Stephen. When you face hardship, it doesn't automatically mean it's a time for you to abandon the Lord. If anything, it's a time for you to lean on the Lord. One of the songs we sang this morning talked about this idea that when we think more highly of ourselves, of ourselves. I'm trying to remember how the song went. But basically, it was dealing with the idea, I'm trying to recall it here, comparing our lives with what Jesus did. When I think about, you know, all the good that I have done, then I'm to think about, but what about me? I left heaven. I came to earth. You think you made such great sacrifice. That's what we sang about today. That's what I love about singing and worshiping our God. If we really stop and think about the words that we're singing, we're telling that to God. God is listening to us sing to Him, and we're pouring out our heart to Him, and we're telling God, God, when I looked at all the sacrifices that I've made for You, all the good that I have done, but then I go to the hill of Calvary, and then I think about Jesus, and I think about what He did, and that humbles me. That's what we're telling God. We're telling God that humbles me. Did we really mean it? That's why we sing with the understanding. We're focusing on the words. That was a part of worship that we value. If people just like you say, well, with the Lord's Supper, you know, that's really important. Singing we can do without. No, we can't. We cannot do without the singing. And the words that we sing and we offer to God, and He's listening to us, because we're sitting there saying, we will be faithful, Father. We love You. help us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. But I just wanted to make that point. Well, as we turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I think there's something else that we value about James and the lesson that we can learn with him being killed. I say beheaded per se, but I just say with him being killed with the sword. We've heard this many times. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. With James' death, it didn't destroy his purpose in life. You think about that for a moment. I'll pick on me. I need to pick on somebody. I'll pick on me. I got to leave this after. I got to go to the meeting. We got a building to finish. You know, if the Lord takes my life, you know, if the Lord allows my life to be taken right now, Lord, you've destroyed my, you've ruined my purpose in life. What? Your purpose in life isn't to go on a meeting. Your purpose in life isn't so much to build a building. Your purpose in life is to serve me faithfully. And if you're still faithful and you die today, it didn't destroy your purpose in life. We want to think about all these great things in our lives, folks, down the road. Think of today, right now. James's death did not destroy his purpose in life. And the Ecclesiastes writer said that. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The last two verses in the book of Ecclesiastes, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the will of God. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Look at your life right now. Don't think about what you plan on doing for the Lord. Your purpose in life right now is to serve the Lord. Right this moment, be faithful in his eyes. Is that you? Death will not destroy that. We got talking about that yesterday, and we were talking, it was over lunch, but we're just talking about death. Oh, no, it's Friday night. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Of course, we would have been doing that at the building. We were working. But we were in our Friday night class, and we were talking about death. That, our whole subject talking about death. And how that, I think Warren mentioned hearing a preacher a long time ago, and I've heard it from others. But they talk about, especially if they die younger, they don't have to go through all the heartache a lot of older people will go through. And there's a lot of truth to that. And if one dies in the Lord, you have 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul's trying to tell them, there should be comfort there. Oh, but they had to be alive when you returned, Lord. No, they don't. If our only hope is to be alive when Christ comes back, we're going to be miserable because you're going to be afraid of dying. If you die before the Lord comes back, you're going to miss heaven. That was a wrong concept. That was a wrong idea. And Paul had to clear that up. And so he talked about the resurrection. And so when I think about James, he doesn't lose his purpose in life in death. Neither will you and I, which is the lesson for you and I this morning. Two more quick points. Make sure you're right with the Lord right now. You're going on a trip. Great. Fortunate. Happy. Enjoy your vacation. You know, Miranda, she's going to my hometown. She's going Toronto, Mississauga. I lived in Mississauga for 5 years. She's going to the best Chinese place in the world. Told her about that. You know, go on a trip. Enjoy that. Others are traveling. You're getting on a plane. Great. Wonderful. Make sure you're right with the Lord. Because you don't think in terms. Do not think in terms that the Lord takes my life. That ruins my purpose in life. What? Did it ruin James' purpose in life? The Lord allowed James, an apostle, to die. One that was called to make fishers of men. It's fine. And that's what we need to say. It didn't destroy any of the promises God gave to James. And that's what I want to stress by looking at Peter. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 4? I mean, I like this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he tells us right here. Here's what Paul says. And, you know, and James could say the very same thing. I don't know where the sword's coming from, but if he's seen it coming, and if he had time to think of this, these things, he says in James 4 and verse 6, for I am already being poured as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who will have loved his appearance. And that's why you and I are sitting there saying, I'm ready. I'm ready. I fought a good fight. Now, I'll keep fighting. The Lord gives me more time. I'll keep fighting. But I'm fighting a good fight right now. I fought a good fight. Comfort that is. Having Ephesians 1:3, I love that verse because you know it talks about all the spiritual blessings are found in Christ. I don't know if we stop and think enough about being in Christ, we pray about it. We thank God for all the spiritual blessings that we have. Don't we say this in our prayers? We thank you for our physical blessings. But more importantly, we thank you for our spiritual blessings. But folks, you realize you're not enjoying one spiritual blessing if you're not in Christ. And you're not in Christ if you haven't been baptized into Christ. That's how you get into Christ, is you're baptized into Him. There's only two verses in the whole Bible that says this is how you get into Christ. You don't believe into Christ, you believe in Christ. You don't confess into Christ, you confess Christ. You don't repent into Christ, you repent and turn to Christ. But you are baptized into Christ, Romans 6:3, for the remission of your sins. And that's where all the spiritual blessings are found. Death cannot take spiritual blessings away. The promise that God gave us, that crown of light, righteousness that is there. And you know what? When I think about all of this, if there's one thing that might cause people to doubt, with what happened with James, and then what happened with Peter, and being a little confused about that, I want people to understand it did not destroy our confidence in the power of God. It didn't. How do I know that? The perfect passage for this is John 19. Perfect passage. Because here's somebody. James died. Jesus died. Pilate. I have power. John 19, verse 10. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? These movies, they still lie to the Bible. But are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? That arrogant Pilate. And Jesus puts him in his place and says, you could not have no power at all against me unless it has been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. I want you to understand something. When you go back to James chapter 12 and you read about who killed James, don't think for one moment that, wow, he had more power than God. Pilate, God allows this. You don't have that power. If somebody were to kill you, they don't have that power. God allows it. God still has power. We don't ever want to question that. And that's why these brethren, that after James's death, went and prayed for Peter, that was the right thing to do. And that's what we'll do. God is a powerful God, an awesome God. And I don't know why God would allow an apostle so early on, approximately 10 years after the death of Jesus. You know, Jesus is going to die. Here, I've got a job for you to do. Wham, an apostle dies. Suck the life right out of him. Teaches great lessons for the early church and for us today. So I want to ask you guys, get the short version today because I'm going to drive. Services starts at 1:30. Where are you? Seriously. Where are you? Are you faithful to God? Because that's the key within all of this. Because life is uncertain. We've talked about that recently. Life is uncertain. But we have the confidence of knowing that God is there for us. We have brethren that pray for us. We are faithful and we need to be faithful. Are you a part of God's family? You need to be. In a moment, Warren's going to be leading us in Song of Invitation. And I want you to seriously think about your spiritual condition, because are you going to be ready like James was? Have you even started your purpose in life? Fear God, keep His commandments. You need to become His child. That's what First John chapter 3 and verse 1. Blessed it is to be child of God. He's called a child of God. Are you his? Do you belong to him? You need to. You need to become a Christian. I talked about the steps just a moment ago. Sit down, we'll go through the Bible, and we'll show you if we can help you in any way. Your child of God that's gone wayward, you need to come back. You need to be faithful to our Lord. Faithful till death. That comes loud and clear in what we were studying this morning. So if you're sub the invitation anyway, will you let it be known as we stand together and sing the song in there?
It won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall descend. And then the dead in Christ from beds of clay shall rise to meet the Lord and King up yonder in the skies. It won't be very, very long. It won't be very, very long till Jesus shall appear.
To give us the things that you do materially and spiritually. Help us to recognize, Heavenly Father, all these things come from you, not from our and not from our hand. Father, we're thankful that we've been able to assemble here as brothers and sisters this morning. We pray that the things that we've done here this morning have been in accordance with your will, that the songs that we've sang that we've encouraged and edified one another, that the lesson that Chuck brought to us, that we listen to that we comprehended what he has said, that if need be, we can make that proper application. We can have better understanding of you and your word, so that we can be better equipped to each other, so that we can be in contact with. Father, as we're about to depart from here, we pray your blessings upon us as we leave and go wherever it may be. We pray for Chuck and his give him safe travels to Illinois, where he is headed. And we pray for the meeting this week and much good will come from that. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are traveling this week, with schools being out and wherever people might be headed. We pray for safe travels for our members there, and we pray for their safe return as well. Remind Heavenly Father of this congregation and those who might not be feeling well. And we pray your blessings upon them, that they might be returned that normal portion of health. And help us to do what we can to encourage those who need it. Remind the brother Keith's prayer earlier, and we'll say amen to that. We recognize that from time to time we do stand and fall short of your glory. Forgive us of our sins. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good job.
Who's up?